And today I want to talk to you about a father's mandate. Now, I know there's a lot of ladies here today, but I'm going to speak to men. And not just to dads. I think there are, and ladies, there are principles here that I'm going to speak to the men about that will apply to you and glean whatever you can. But forgive me for the one day, I'm just going to talk to guys. If you're a dad, I'm speaking to you. And if you aren't a dad, but you're still a guy, there are principles today that we're going to be speaking about that's going to go, I believe, to your heart, and you need to hear, and God wants to speak to you. So Joshua chapter 24, and we're going to read verses 14 and 15. Joshua has stepped into a unique position. Moses is gone, and he's about to take the children of Israel into the promised land. He is leading them. He's got this spot, and anybody who's followed a great leader knows that that is a terrifying place to be, because you've got to blaze your own trail, so to speak. But God has given Joshua such an incredible backbone, such a spine of steel to be able to do what needs to be done. Joshua says, starting in verse 14, "Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Now, we've heard that verse over the years so many times. Most of the time, we just heard that last part. "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And that sounds good, but before he got to that, there was some lead-up that had some stuff in it that we need to take a minute and look at. And the first one was this. The first part that I want you to see in verse 14 is the mandate. Right there in verse 14, it says, "Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord." Right off the bat, he throws down the gauntlet. This is what we're calling you to, men. This is what you need to do. And as Joshua does this, as Joshua speaks this, he's speaking really some deep truths. And if you just read the verse and got past it, you missed that there's a lot in just even that one verse. The first thing he says is, "Fear the Lord." And what that phrase, "fear the Lord," means is it means show reverence to. Be in awe of God. And if you notice in there, as it goes through there, the Lord, the word Lord is spelled capital L and then small, but they're all caps all the way through, O-R-D. That anytime you see the Lord spelled out in all caps, that tells you that this is the word Jehovah. Okay, so he tells you, be in awe of Jehovah God. Be in awe of the Father who created everything. Be amazed at him. You know, as a kid, I was always amazed that my dad could do certain things, right? You know, I mean, it wasn't much. You know, look back now today and think, oh, it wasn't that big of a deal. He made a couple little end tables for mom, and it wasn't a whole lot of stuff today. I look back, but as a kid, I remember thinking, you made that? That's cool. You know, that's amazing. Well, our Father made everything. There was, in the beginning, nothing. In fact, it says in Genesis 1, says that it was formless and void. And that phrase in Hebrew is the Hebrew phrase tohu vavohu, which literally means chaos and waste. And he looked into chaos, and he looked into waste, and he just began speaking words. He spoke words, and order came out of chaos. He spoke words, and stuff came out of nothing. He just spoke words, and words happened. Words took place. He is a God who was able to do that with words. It's not like he went out to Home Depot and decided he was going to build the planet, so he needed to get some supplies. He spoke into nothing, and things happened. You know, it's like the story about the scientist who once said that I figured out how to create life. I know how to make man. So he looks up at heaven and he says, "God, we don't need you anymore. I know how to make life. I can make man." And he goes, "Okay, go ahead and do it." So the guy gets down and starts forming some dirt. And he says, no, get your own dirt. Because God did it all. God did everything. That should amaze you. You know, there are spots on earth that are just amazing to me. You ever sit on a beach and just look at the ocean? It's amazing. If you ever sit on, in one of my favorite places, there's a mountain peak in New Mexico called Guadalupe Ridge that literally you could sit there and look south into old Mexico, look the other direction, see into Texas, look north, and you can almost make it to the Colorado border as far as your line of vision. It's just this beautiful. I can sit there and just my heart is stirred to be drawn to God, and I sit in His presence there. I remember many times that I've sat there and just been moved by that. I'll be honest with you, sometimes driving across flat old Oklahoma, but looking at how big the sky is, you kind of go, wow, look at this, God. Look at all the stuff that you did. And you get amazed. Get amazed. Don't ever lose awe and wonder over who He is, over what He has done. And get amazed at Him. Be in awe of Him. But that doesn't leave you alone right there. Because he says, fear the Lord. Then it says, serve Him in sincerity and in truth. Serve the Lord. And what that means is, I am in awe of God, but now I am going to act on it in reverence. I see how great God is, and it's like my life is now dedicated to doing whatever You want, to bless You, to be the kind of man, to do the kind of things that bring You the most honor. Because look at what You've done. And You tell me You did it for me. You tell me You did it out of love for me. How could I do anything less but honor You, bless You, and serve You with my whole heart, my whole being? I will give myself to serving the Lord. I will give myself to serving His people. I will give myself to doing what needs to be done because He said to do it. And He's worthy. He's worthy. So, you know, Dad, the people in your house are worth your effort. They really are. We fear the Lord, which shows Him reverence. We serve the Lord, which means we act out on reverence. But then the last part of verse 14, he says this. He says, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river, and in Egypt, serve the Lord. Remove the idols. Remove the idols. And an idol is just anything that you revere more than God. It's only, you know, an idol is just the stuff that I put highest value on. When you boil it down, the mandate is simply to be a godly man in an ungodly world. That is the mandate. You have been called to be a godly man in an ungodly world. I don't have to tell you about how ungodly this world is. Seriously. I don't need to bring in examples, do I? You can go turn on the TV, and I don't care what channel you pick, you're going to find examples of ungodliness in this world. Or you can just go to work and see some of it, right? Or, you know, look next door. But not in your house, but somewhere else, right? See, you ever felt like that was kind of hard to accomplish? I believe that, honestly, it is hard. I know it's hard. But I believe that men will rise to the challenge when you tell them this is the goal. Men, we are called to be godly men in an ungodly world. We are called to be salt and light. And there is something inside of men that has a noble character. There is a spine and a backbone inside of you. I'm not taking anything away from women. This is not misogyny or anything like that. I'm just speaking to the masculine soul right now. And you don't get the masculine soul by changing genders. I'm just going to tell you that. It's something you were born with. God created you this way. We are built this way. And men, when you really believe that God could want to use you, you'll rise up. Amen. When you really believe that God could take little old you and do something good, you'll start doing it. Yeah, but you don't know what I did. I don't care what you did. Neither does God, because He is not as concerned about your past as He is about redeeming your present and establishing your future. And once your present is redeemed, your future is redeamed, and your past is forgotten. And in fact, the things you say, well, God can't use me because of this, Scripture says He has taken that and thrown it into a sea of forgetfulness. Now, maybe there's some other guys who, like me, understand what it's like to have some of your thoughts in a sea of forgetfulness. Right? You know what I'm talking about? There are things that I used to remember easily. Now I don't. And I'm convinced that God wired us with neurons that connect the brain to the behind. Okay? Because you'll walk in a room and have no idea, why did I come in here? What am I doing here? And you'll go back and you'll sit down and, oh, yeah, that's it. Anybody else have that? Listen, let me tell you. Pantalones del fuego. All right, now, don't tell me never. I believe that we'll rise to the challenge, and you know what? As easy as it is getting at my age to forget things, and some of you are going, your age, but you know what I'm talking about. As easy as it is to forget some things that you used to just be able to call up quickly, and now it's not quite as easy as it used to be, God has intentionally taken the memory of your sin and your failure and where you have broken covenant with Him. And by once you have decided, I commit myself to the Lord, I'm going to follow the Lord, He is taking those things and put them in that spot where He has chosen to forget them, to the point that the only way He'll ever remember those things is if you bring it back up. So, by the way, that's a call to quit reliving your old sin and reminding God, I know I really failed you back then. God's going, what are you talking about? I don't see anything. I see a blood covering, and that's all I can see. I don't see anything else.
Hallelujah.
And if you realize that your past is irrelevant and your future is secure, I don't know a single man who wouldn't just jump forward and say, I'll do whatever He says. Because you have nobility in you. There's something inside of you. Every man I know wants to do something worthwhile in his life. Something worthwhile. Something that maybe generations won't remember me, but it will impact somebody else. Let Jesus be the motivation for that. Let Jesus be that. So I'm going to love on God and do whatever He says. You see, your culture tells you that you can't do this. Your friends tell you can't do this. Your family, much as they love you, they aren't convinced you can do it either. But believe it or not, your Redeemer knows you can.
Amen.
He knows that you can. He knows that there's something inside of you. So the challenge is this. I challenge you to be a godly man in an ungodly world. That is the challenge. Just decide, I'm done with low living. I'm done with setting my sight on things below. I am going to be a man of God. I'm going to handle things the way God wants it done. That's an amazing challenge. It's a hard challenge. But let me ask you this, guys. Do you like being challenged to something that you can do? Or do you like being pushed to do something you didn't think you could, to be able to look back and go, I didn't think I could do that, but I did it. Yeah, I always, and I'm sorry, I don't want to embarrass him, but I always think of my son Josiah, who throughout his entire life has been just these gifted to do all kinds of things. But I remember as a little kid, he'd run around and you know, he'd throw a baseball, and you know, he'd throw the ball and it would go farther. I didn't know I could do that. Or he'd swing the bat and he would hit it and it was out of the infield. I didn't know I could do that until I did it. Now I know I can do it. And it just all the way down. Just as a little kid, I didn't know I could do that, but that's so cool. I can do that now. Men, we are called to do that. Just recognize, I didn't know I could do it, but now I can do it. I know I can do it. And just, as Nike says, do it. Now, some of you are not completely convinced, so let's look at the first part of verse 15. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves whether this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served, that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. Let's look at the back door. You see, so you don't want to take the challenge? Joshua gives you a way out. Just do those things that you want to. Whatever you want to do, just do that. Is that what you want to do? Fine. Do it. See, you can make anything you wish a priority over God. You can do whatever you want. If that's what you rather have those things, then fine, have those things. Worship anything you want to, even those gods of the people who lived there before we defeated them. If you want to keep worshiping their idols, yeah, that's fine. You do that. That's your choice. If that's what you want to do, then do it. Modern day translation of that, this would be my translation of this, is if you want to live like a loser, knock yourself out. Because that's what he's saying. It is essential. He goes, look, you guys got to decide. But if you want to be a loser, feel free. I'm not going to force you into godly living. But you're being a chump. You're deciding to follow gods that we have defeated already. You want to follow the gods of Egypt? Do you remember? Okay, maybe you weren't there. Do you remember your dad telling you the story of those plagues coming through before he died off in the wilderness? If your dad didn't tell you, sure, you heard the mom say it. If not them, there was enough people around who saw it. You heard it. You know what God did. God ultimately decimated this thing. It was such a rampant story that 40 years later, they get to the walls of Jericho, which is the most fortified city in the world of its day. And the people inside are terrified because they heard about what God did 40 years ago. Really? Children of Israel didn't even realize it. They had to send spies in. The spies came back and told them, and you can just see the people inside going, well, I guess. That's what you say. All right. Joshua had just come to that point. If you want to be a loser, be a loser. You want to follow somebody else. If you want to idolize anything else, just you do it. But don't get in our way. See, our God destroyed their gods. And essentially what Joshua was saying was, and he used us to do it. Our God destroyed their gods at our hand. Now, no idols today, right? No idols today? Well, what about this? What about money? You know anybody who likes money? Fights for work? There are men in the world who will work themselves to the grave, and money isn't the purpose. It is just the work itself. Entertainment. Prodigal son lived his life for entertainment and came to the end of his rope when it stopped being fun. Or prestige. I bet somebody knows somebody who lives their life so people think good things about them. I'm going to dress just this way. I'm going to drive just this thing. I'm going to live in this place. I'm going to marry this person so that I look good. I want the world to like what they see. Really? Well, people ask at their deathbed to see family. They ask to have prayer. You know what they don't do? I've never seen anybody on their death, and I've been by the bedside of many people as they pass from this life. Not once has any of them said, please bring me my company watch that I got for 25 years. I want to look at it one more time before I die. Please, I need to see my 401k just once more. I'm going to die, and I just want to look at those numbers one more time. They want to see the only thing that matters, people. They want to say the things they should have said 20, 30, 40 years ago. They want to get it out of their system because they know their time is short. And Joshua's going, if you want to play that game and wait to the last second, get out of my way. Because we've got a task. We have a mandate to live godly lives in an ungodly world, to change the perception of what a man of God looks like. And if you're not going to get on board, at least get out of the way. Have you ever been driving down the street or the highway, and there's somebody in the passing lane going about 1/8 of a mile per hour slower than the person in the other lane, causing you to not get where you want to go? I'm a man of great control all the time, give or take most of the time. But I get in those situations and it's like, I understand road rage. It's like, I just want you to either pull over to the side of the road and decide to just walk now, because that's essentially what you're making me do. Or speed up and get out of the way. One of them. Figure it out. Nobody else has that. I know. I'm sharing my issues. But the truth is, we know where we want to go. We know where God's called us to go. And when you see people who are in front of you who were supposed to be doing the same thing you're doing, but they're dragging their feet and they're not doing it, you want to either grab them by the neck and pull them along and say, let's go together, or get out of my way. I've got things to do. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And as men of God, we've got to get to that point that we're more convinced that what we are doing by living godly lives in an ungodly world is more important than anything anybody else is doing. And we've got to decide, well, I'm mandated by God to do this. It's more important than anything I've got to do today. It's more important than the show I was going to watch. It's more important than the round of golf I was going to play. It's more important than the grass I was going to mow. It's more important than that contract I was going to sign. I am going to live a godly life. That matters. Nothing else does. See, that you know what that gets you? That gets you labeled. That's what that gets you. That gets you labeled a weirdo. One of those people. You're a nut. No one wants to be with you. Look, here's the problem. Some of you worship the idols today. And so, I don't care what the label is. I'm still going to offer you the back door. If you want to live like a loser, knock yourself out. But I've got to go on to the last point, because I could belabor the middle one and talk about the back door all day, and that's not the important part. The last part is this, is the example. Look at chapter verse 15, the last part of it. And Joshua said this, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, you want to live like a loser, knock yourself out, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's a statement. That is a statement. Now, you have no control, ultimately, over what the other people in your house do, but you set the tone. Right? Some of you know what it is to raise your kids to know and love the Lord, and then them walk away from God. You know what it is to be in a godly environment, and then things fall apart. Just went nuts. Like, what happened? As for me, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to set the environment so that my household serves the Lord. They're going to see the benefit of loving God, serving God, and obeying God, and putting away the idols. I want you to notice Joshua's spine. He said, it's for me and my house. He actually had enough boldness to speak for himself, for his kids, for his wife. He had enough boldness to speak for his grandkids, the people who worked for him, anyone else who was under his authority. He spoke like somebody who was on a mission. I am convinced that I will do nothing more important than live a godly life in an ungodly world. And as for those people who are under my influence, they're going to serve the Lord too. Or I will go down trying. I'm going to give everything I've got. Did you know that everything I'm saying today can be categorized as hate speech by somebody? And here's why. Our culture mocks men. But that's why we have to have backbone. That's why we have to accept the mandate. But we mock, the culture mocks men. You can't watch a TV show without dad being the buffoon. Dad is always portrayed as ignorant. Dad is always portrayed as somebody who doesn't have it together, somebody who, try as he may, is not hip. And if you're using the word hip, you're not hip, so just get over it, right? I don't care. You know, that's one of the great things about being a dad is that you're no longer under the constraint of what's cool, because once you become a dad, you've stopped being cool for the rest of your life. So you can do what you want now. I can dress how I want to. That's why you see old men wearing white socks up to their kneecaps and sandals and not caring at all. Because I'm dad. I've stopped being cool a long time ago. It's more than just that, though. It is the fact that our culture has decided that men know nothing. Which is just folly. Absolute folly. I'm not saying that men are better than women, and I'm not saying that women are better than men. I'm saying that man and woman, he created in his image, that doesn't make one less than the other. But we have different callings. We have different natures inside of us to accomplish different things. There are just things that most men can't do that women do, and there are things that most women can't do that men do. Now, Dad, can I just say that out loud without being sexist in the process? Because it's the truth. 99% of women are not prepared to go into combat. And it's not because they're gentle and meek. Some of them are just pretty tough, but they're not physically built as strong. There are some that I would just step out of the way and say, yes, ma'am, whatever you want. Amen. But we're built differently, and to deny that we are biologically different people is folly. To deny that we're emotionally different people is just as much folly. And so men, you've been hearing from the culture for 30, 40 years, father no longer knows best. It's more like dad's an idiot. We got to drag him along and catch him up to everything else that's going on. And dad, you may not always know best, but you know more than the culture gives you credit for. You're better than what they say you are. Don't live down to what they say. Refuse the back door and set the example. My house is going to follow God. We're going to serve Jesus. That's how we're going to live our lives. Tony Evans spoke at Promise Keepers back when Promise Keepers was a big deal. And I remember going to Promise Keepers back in the old Texas Stadium when it was still there. In fact, I remember going into Texas Stadium and walking on the turf and realizing this is maybe the closest I'm going to be to Jerusalem until I actually get there, the holy ground. But Tony Evans said something that was amazing. And it was just so logical. Tony Evans said this: we all want a better world. Well, how do we get a better world? Well, we got to build better nations. Well, how do we build better nations? Well, you got to build better states that make up the nations. Well, how do you build better states? Well, inside those states, you need to build better cities that populate the states to make a better nation, to make a better world. But how do you make a better city? Make better neighborhoods. You got to build better neighbor. Well, how do you build better neighborhoods? Well, you got to build better homes. Now, that's starting to sound like real estate. No. It's more than just building the brick and mortar, because he says in order to build better homes, you got to build better families. Well, how do you build better families? You have better dads showing up and leading families. So, you want to become a better man that will lead to a better family, which will be in a better home, which makes for a better neighborhood. When you got several families that are doing that, you got better neighborhoods, they make up better cities. And you got cities that start becoming better, and your states become better. And as those states become better, then the nation becomes better. And if the nations become better, then you've got a better world. So he says it this way: if you want to make the world a better place, be a better man. And sometimes we don't see that. Somebody say, make the world a better place, be a better man. Well, yeah, that sounds great. Put that on a t-shirt or a bumper sticker. That'll be super. No, it's real and it's legitimate, and it is the only hope that we have on this earth until Jesus comes, is that people follow God, living godly lives in an ungodly world. Look, I've done a lot of things wrong in my life. I've made some colossal mistakes, and I've hurt a lot of people along the way. And I know you don't believe that because you see me as perfect, and you're mostly right. But the truth is, I have. I've made horrible mistakes. And I have hurt people. And I don't like that. That hurts me to know that I've done that. The number of people that I've hurt and the ways that I have. And I can't go back and fix it. But I can decide I'm going to be better today. And that's a decision I make. I'm going to be a better man today. But in the end, I know that if I pulled out of here and my car got plowed into by a truck and it's over and I'm in the presence of Jesus, I know where I'm going. My future is secure. I know that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But do you know what matters to me more than that at this point in my life? Nothing matters more than knowing that Danae and Hope and Josiah and John get there. God put 4 kids in my life. Their eternity matters more to me than my right now. Nothing matters more to me. I am reminded of Dr. Dobson, who had a heart attack, probably been 20 years ago now. But he had had a heart attack, and he's laying in a hospital bed, and he called for his kids to be around him. He says, I'm going to go in for surgery, and I don't know if I'm going to make it. And he said, here's the thing. Whether or not I make it doesn't matter to me. I'm going to win either way. But if I die, I'm going to heaven. You be there. You be there. That matters. That matters more than anything. My kids being there matters more to me than anything. I had somebody tell me once, you know, I could probably say anything I wanted to you and you'd be fine, but boy, if I said anything about your kids, you're going to turn into a tiger, aren't you? I said, you have no idea. Because they matter. I want to take that one step farther, men. Some of you, you know your kids, they're saved. You're happy with it. You know they're going to heaven. You know that's good. You've got grandkids, you've been working on them, and that's awesome too. But all of God's kids need to get there. This world is lost. And we're sitting in an empty building. We need to be people not just that live godly lives in an ungodly world, but take that and become very practical in leading people to Jesus. Because living a godly life in an ungodly world isn't enough. Lot went to Sodom and Gomorrah. Scripture teaches us that he was tormented daily by the sin that he saw. But the godly life that he lived did not translate to people getting saved. In the end, he and his family were brought out, and even not all of his family came out. His wife turned into a pillar of salt. And after that, you know, relationships went south, and we talked about that a month or so ago. I mean, there's so much that happened, but it takes more than just going, I'm going to be good. Right? I'm going to be good. You know who says I'm going to be good? The kid who just got in trouble and is trying to get out of it. I'll be good. I'll be good. I promise, I'll be good. That's not enough. Be a man. Be man enough to tell people about Jesus. Be man enough to not just be concerned about your four and no more. Listen, God works on me on that. Because if I'm going to be completely honest, I could live my life with just seeing my kids and being around them, and I'd be a very happy person. And if I didn't see anybody else other than who I went and made contact with, the grocery store and gas station and all that, I'd probably be okay. I could probably be a hermit. I would, as long as I had family connection. I want my kids. But other than that, you know, right? I don't know if any of you else feel that way. I relate. That's how I naturally want to go. But God's working on me on that. It's more than just your four and no more. I have kids all over this city who are going to hell, and I don't want them there. So we've got to do what? Live up to the mandate. Now decide, all right, yeah, idols are gone. I'm not going to live this way anymore. And not only am I not going to live that way anymore, I'm now going to live for something important. I'm living for the Lord. And in living for the Lord, I now no longer am bound by me, my preconceived notions, the things that I want, my comfort zone. Because, man of God, the challenge is just that, a challenge. If it wasn't a challenge, it'd be easy, but it's a challenge. And my question is, will you accept it? Because the bottom line is this. Choose you this day whom you will serve. He didn't say, sleep on it. Think about it and get back to me tomorrow. Joshua said, this is the day, right now. Decide. Figure it out. You're going to follow our God who has shown himself to be strong and do great and mighty wonders. Are you going to do your own thing and live like a loser? And I don't care if you do. That's your choice. But as for me, my house, this day, we're serving the Lord. And I invite you, men and women alike, step up to the challenge. Step up to the challenge. The world is a dark and lonely place, filled with broken people. And you have the light of the world inside of you. You have the healing power of God inside of you. You, whether you know it or not, whether you believe it or not, have everything you need to change the world. It starts with you being a better you in the image of God. If you would bow your heads for a moment and close your eyes. And I've got to ask you, if you've never asked Jesus in your heart, that's got to be the first stop. You'll never be better without him. And if you'd like to receive Jesus in your life to give you forgiveness and to give you leadership and to take you places that you never dreamed possible, Just lift your hand and say, Pastor, today I want to accept Jesus, my Savior. And Father, today I pray for each of us to become the very best version of ourselves. Not the one that they tell us about on TV. Not the one we read about in magazines. The very best version of ourselves, the one that comes from within, the Spirit of living God living inside of us, guiding us into all truth to become the men and women we're destined to become. God, forgive us for just accepting the garbage the world has given us for so long and just thinking, well, that's the way it is. It's not. Lord, I thank you that you have more for us. So we bless you this morning. We honor you. And we tell you we love you. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll stand up, I want to bless you. And we will be dismissed. Now may God bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious to you. May he give you the courage you need to accept the mandate and do what he calls you to do. And may he give you his peace. And I pray it in Jesus' name.